NBL Pocket Podcast NBL 20 team previews. Our next team alphabetically is the Cairns Taipans. Let's not mess around. Let's jump straight into the fan base mindset. This is a different start to the show. Normally we have an intro. I'll cut that. And what you're hearing now is the sweet sounds of Gil Scott Heron, Inner City Blues. Heron was a soul jazz poet from New York City by way of Chicago, and this song sums up the plight of the Cairns Taipans. They are, unfortunately and unfairly, the runt of the litter, the least financially flamboyant of the clubs in the NBL.
Money, we made it. Yeah, but before we see it, are they taking it? Yes, to make you want to holler right up home. The way they do your life. Make you wanna holler right up home. The way they into your life.
My thought to fans of the Cairns Taipans, use that persona to your advantage. Make the Triple C the most difficult place to play for visiting teams. Everybody loves an underdog or snake. All right, let's jump onto roster watch. Let's have a look at who the Cairns Taipans acquired. They've got Machado, Oliver, Jerick, Majukding, Noy, Fisher, and Blagojevich. Blagojevich. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Who they lost? Rob Lowe, Walker, Trimble, Hall, Koenig Drew, Alex Loughton, Young, and Kwani Kwani. It was a bit of a secret loss. We'll go into that a bit more. You see there, let's go just jump on. Consistency watch. Why do we look at the consistency watch season to season? Well, stability breeds consistency. Consistency breeds culture. Culture breeds winning in the NBL. Just ask the Perth Wildcats. That's why we study this. Looking at the Cairns Taipans, 8 of their 12 roster spots have changed over. That's a 67 percentile, and that's tied for the most roster change in the league outside of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, who obviously weren't a member of the league last year, so their entire roster is unique. Three starters are departing from this Cairns team: Melo Trimble, Rob Lowe, and then Alex Loughton stroke Walker. They kind of split time starting last year. Lucas Walker. No coaching changes. Mike Kelly is back. He's back for year two. Had his struggles in year one. Apparently that locker room was not quite as happy as it could have been. But when you only win 6 games, that's going to happen. Let's have a look at the rotation. This is a bit difficult. Tried to get a sense of things from the blitz and preseason, but it's hard to know where they're going to go. At center, could be Cam Oliver, could be Nathan Jawai, Kwat Noy, Blagojevich, Majuk Deng. Let's go with the starting lineup: Oliver, Noy, Deng, Newbel, and Machado. That seems like what they're going to go with. And a bench, you've got Jawai, the three itch cousins, and Jared Kenny. Last season record in place. So last season this team went 6-22. That was good for 8th place. I think they were flirting around with finishing anything but last early on in the season, and then that didn't come to fruition. They lost pretty much a lot of games in a row. Over under predictions from topsport.com.au. Let's have a look here. Top Sport have the over-under at 8.5 games. The NBL Pocket Podcast pick is, amazingly, compared to most people, I'm taking the over. Not with a huge degree of confidence, though. And the question I like to do is I like to ask the simplest question to arrive at an answer to the over-under. Is this team 3 wins better than last season? My answer is yes. And I'll tell you why. Last year they went 2 of 3 from their imports. Nailing your imports is key for this team because they don't really seem to attract a huge deal of local talent. So last year they went 2 of 3. Newbel was good. Trimble was fantastic. Devon Hall didn't give them anything, unfortunately. And you can't do that. This year, all 3 imports look the goods. I like Machado. He's going to help get the ball. He's going to help get the best out of what is less than eye-popping supporting cast up in Cairns. The biggest factor for me, though, is a healthy, committed, in-shape Nathan Juai. He can be awesome. He wasn't happy last season for a bunch of reasons. I think they kind of, in their play, went away from him when they started to go to him. He looked better. I don't think he did himself any favors with his fitness. But now Mike Kelly is in year two. Maybe he's picked up a few tricks of the trade, and hopefully that's the way they go. Be really interested to see what their starting lineup's going to be, because it could be Oliver and Juai together. Could be Noi. Could be a bit of a combination. But how, from all accounts, from what I've heard, Nate Juai is in really good shape. How good a shape? How many minutes can he string together in long stretches? And will he finish games is the question. I mean, he's a good player. Title odds. They are ninth. Most bookies have this team finishing dead last. They're ninth in title odds at $34 to win the title. Let's look at their highest ranked MVP candidates. So tied 15th is Scott Machado, $21. And just below him, number 16, is Cameron Oliver, $23. Nate Juai is $151 to win the MVP. What's funny is DJ Newball, not listed at all in the MVP candidates. Now, that's according to topsport.com.au. I found that interesting that Juai would be interested, but not Newball. Let's have a look at their import rank. So the way I did this, and if you've listened to previous ones, you know, I just basically wrote down all the imports in the season and then did a draft, and did that using mostly my my gut feeling about guys, but also referring to their MVP numbers or ranking according to a couple of bookies, Top Sport being one of them, Sportsbet being another. So with that in mind, my import ranks, I had Scott Machado at number 14, DJ Newball one place above him at 13, and Cam Oliver at 16. All three are wedged between Tarico White at 12 and Dario Hunt at 17. Both Wildcats, it just worked out that way. So for that reason, I had their overall import rank tied 4th and 5th, tied with Southeast Melbourne. They occupied that spot. So if you think about that, obviously I had Robeson higher than Machado. And who's the other import there? Well, Keith Benson is one there. And Ty Wesley, obviously, I had higher than Newball and Oliver. I'm a big Ty Wesley fan. So, but obviously Benson dragged that scale down for Southeast Melbourne. Let's jump over to local rank. I had them 9th. I think their best local is Nate Juai, who's I had as the 18th best local, not overall player, 18th local specifically. So if we look at their talent rank, 4 plus 9 equals 13. So they were 8th in what is their talent rank. 8th. Interesting. You'll have to find out who I think is number 9. So that puts them, you know, second last. This is where I have them. Schedule watch. Let's have a look. Let's look at their first 7 games. So their first quarter of the season. Their first game is against Sydney at home. Then they travel to Brisbane. Then they travel to Illawarra. Illawarra, by the way, are on the second game of a back-to-back or a 2-game round when Cairns come into town. Then they're at Perth. Then they're at Adelaide. Then they're against Melbourne at home, and then they're at New Zealand. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of their first 7 games are on the road. Not the best schedule to start the season and build some confidence for this team. But, you know, some gettables in there, like Illawarra, Brisbane maybe, but Illawarra, Adelaide, New Zealand, you know, they're 3 games that they, if they play well, can win. On the road makes it tough, though, so I'm not confident about the over, but anyway, I'm talking myself out of it the more I look at this. Having said that, looking at their schedule, here's something interesting. Through the season, they catch Illawarra on a back-to-back on October 14, Southeast Melbourne on a back-to-back December 14. Cairns are also coming on a back-to-back that game as well. They catch Adelaide on a 2-game round December 22nd and Southeast Melbourne January 26. So, you know, you can see there that they catch Southeast Melbourne twice and Adelaide when they're a little bit tired. They've got to capitalize on that. That's their best chance to win those teams, which most people would have ranked above them. One unfortunate thing to look at for this roster is, you know, I consider, other than Cairns, Illawarra and New Zealand to be a little bit suspect as well, but unfortunately they only play them 3 times when there's a chance they could have played one of them 4 times. So they didn't get the break there, which makes the over pretty tight. Let's look at the three biggest questions for this team, and these are just ones that I've got. My first biggest question for this team: who are you, Nate Jawai? You know, we're about to find out. You look at this guy, and he's still the only 6'10", 130-kilogram player in the NBL. He's unguardable in the post. I think on NBL.com.au, there was an article recently about NBL by the numbers, and it talked about the heights, weights, and ages of all the teams. And I think the next heaviest player behind Jawai, he's giving up. He's got a 20 plus kilos on most players, so he can't be stopped. They got to play through him down there. And when he got the ball and made touches, he looked good. And as I said at the top of the program, he seems to be in shape. My second biggest question for this team is: who are you, Kouat Noy? New player, people are raving about him. Can he be productive or just an NBL fantasy darling? That's the question for me. What can he give you at such a young age and so new to the league that actually contributes to winning games? Can he close out games? Is he going to be more than just a fantasy darling? My third question for this team is: who's going to really surprise for this team? Who's going to pop? Could it be Noy? Could it be Deng? Could it be Jerich? Could it be DJ Newbel? I think it'll be DJ Newbel. Had a good year last year, but I think at times seemed to struggle playing alongside Melo Trimble. The two didn't quite marry up. That's what this team needs. They need that unforeseen player to pop and to make the over. My money, as I said, is on Newbel. He's going to be that scoring option late in games. I think he had a quote recently on Twitter about how he's so excited to play in close games and make big shots. And I think this year he's going to get an even greater chance. I don't think his numbers are going to terribly spike from last year. I think he was around about sort of 14, 15 points per game. I think it'll still be around there, but it's going to be more the way he scores. You know, I think he's going to hit a couple of big shots, big in crunches. He's going to be the focus of their offense late in games, and I think he's got the chops for it. He's going to provide quality, structured scoring late in games, and hopefully that translates to them getting to the over, getting to getting over 8.5. So all they've got to do is pick up three more games. They won six last year, and you know, they were the whipping boy of the league. So it makes sense that things should change. Let's jump on to Hollywood Calling, or their team storyline for this year.
But Hollywood finally caught.
You can hear it in the background now. Moving On Up by the M People is what I've chosen. I really don't think this team is going to finish on the bottom of the ladder. I think the bottom is going to fall out of another team in the NBL. I'm not going to tell you who, you'll have to keep listening. I like this team, they're a fun team. CairnsTaipans.com.au, if you're in Cairns or nearby, get a membership. Have fun with this team, I know I am. Good, bad, or otherwise, let me know your thoughts on this team preview on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod, or in an email, nblpocketpodcast@gmail.com. See you on the next episode. We might break with tradition and not go alphabetically. We shall see.